But we're glad to see everybody here tonight. And we're going to have to discuss something that we need to be aware of as Christians. What do we talk about? And we need to learn that some things are more important than other things and should be discussed often. And yes, you know where I'm going with this, because spiritual matters should take precedence, and we should talk about that a whole lot more than we do. But we find it easy to talk about other things depending on the company that we're keeping. And so this lesson will be partly about what comes out of our mouth. And sometimes what comes out of your mouth is not fit for a Christian to be speaking. And so Jesus taught that we should watch what comes out of our mouth. And that's why it's important. And so what we could say could have a bearing on our eternal destiny. Because Jesus said the words we speak will judge us. And some of us talk so much about things, but we often fail to speak what God wants us to say. And this is a problem that a lot of people have. Yeah, we want to fit in with the crowd, and they're not interested in spiritual matters, so we find out what they're interested in, and we strike up a conversation with them. And yet, what is more important, especially for their soul, is to hear something of a spiritual nature. And yes, why don't we do that? Well, we're afraid we might get persecution. We might get someone making fun of us or mocking us or something like that. And yet, God wants us to talk about Him. God wants to be glorified in everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, so that all things God may be glorified. And we're supposed to glorify God in our bodies, and we're supposed to glorify Him with the fruit of our lips, our speaking. And so we need to be doing that. See, the passage that we read, Matthew 12, 34 through 37, says, "Ye offspring of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The good man out of his good treasure bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." As Christians, I mean, when we're not at church, I mean, this is where the focus of this lesson is. When we're not at church, we sometimes forget the fact that what we say and with whom we say those things can have a bearing on our eternal destiny. And so, if we speak the words that God wants us to say, then we're going to be justified and God will accept us. But if we speak words that God's not pleased with, it's going to be our condemnation. And so words are very important, and we have to pay attention to the words that we say. See, when we read this passage, we need to note the following. Just what does Jesus consider idle words? And yes, that's something we brought this up in lessons before. Idle words. I mean, something that is idle means, like, if a car is idling, is it going anywhere? I mean, think about that. If the car is idling, is it going anywhere? Well, words that don't go anywhere are really just wasted breath when you think about it. And how many of those do we say every day? We speak a lot of things. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about complaining. Those are words, those are idle words that God doesn't like. And so, we'd be better off just not saying words at all. Words that don't have any meaning or bearing. And so, that's what we need to be mindful of. And of course, idle words, we can also turn this around, unwholesome words, or words of vulgarity, or something like that. So we have to understand, why will we be held accountable for the words that we speak? Well, I mean, that should be a very obvious answer to that, is because the words we speak will determine whether someone else gets to hear the gospel or not. And that's why God's going to hold us accountable. And oftentimes we don't even think about that. We just think, well, as long as we go to church, we're okay, we're going to heaven. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond these four walls. Our Christian faith needs to be taken out and shared with other people. And a lot of people won't do that. So how do our words justify or condemn us? And so we're going to look at that. What are we trying to say? We are involved in communication all the time. No doubt about it. I mean, we are either, like this morning, we're either typing on our computer to go across the internet, or we're on a telephone talking with somebody, or we're meeting somebody face to face. And usually, how we communicate is through the words that we say. And we talk about politics, we talk about the weather, we talk about sports, and so many other things. And sometimes we say we talk about it, sometimes it's nothing more than complaining. And we complain about these things, and we don't like what it is. And yes, we have the freedom to voice our opinion without being thrown in the prison, but if we say the wrong thing to the wrong person, they're going to get upset. And so, you know, I mean, we've heard that phrase, "Well, you offended me." The very fact that we're sitting in this church building tonight offends millions of people in this valley. And so, I mean, are we going to stop doing that so we won't be offensive? God doesn't want that. So we're going to talk about things. We're going to talk about the right kind of things. As Christians, that's what we should be doing. The question is, how often do we speak of spiritual matters in our daily conversations? How many people speak about God, maybe if they happen to be talking to their neighbor? How many people mention church and what a great time we had at church yesterday and things like that? Or we really need to have an understanding of serving God because a lot of people aren't doing that, and this world shows it. So there's many ways we can speak to people about that. And if you're not sure what to say, just ask God for the wisdom to know these things. So when was the last time you asked someone to study the Bible with you? We meet people all the time, and when was the last time? I mean, do you say, "Hey, you know what? We ought to sit down and study the Bible together. We ought to open up our Bibles." And, of course, we have to, if we decide we're going to do that, we've got to establish some ground rules. We're going to let the Bible speak, and it's not going to be my opinion, your opinion. It's going to be what the Bible says as the truth of God's Word. And a lot of people nowadays, they don't really follow God's Word. They just do whatever makes them feel good. And so, I mean, they really need to study the Bible. And really, let's face it, many of the denominations, they've just eliminated the Bible from their repertoire altogether. It's just a matter of feelings. What makes you feel good? And that's what people want. They want their ears tickled. So notice some passages about what we are trying to say. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, "Hold the pattern of sound words, which thou hast heard from me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy 4, 6, "If thou put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the words of the faith and of good doctrine which thou hast followed until now." Colossians 4, 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer each one." In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5, and then jumping to verse 13, "And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth, combining spiritual things with spiritual words." A lot of people like to talk. There's no question about that. Some people, I mean, that's all they ever do is jibber jabber and talk and just ramble on and just yap, yap, yap. I mean, I knew one girl back in Texas. I called a little Pomeranian because all of a sudden, yep, 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 all the time. And so just talk, talk, talk. And was she saying anything of substance? Not really. just going along, just rambling on and talking. I'm sure you know a lot of people like that. You know people who just talk, and by the time you get through, have you learned anything? Have you gained any understanding or knowledge? Chances are, no. So, what we need to focus on is when we start communicating with people, start bringing in spiritual thoughts. And that's what we need to do. That's why it's so much easier to spend your time with Christians, because they're okay with spiritual thoughts. It's your other friends who really don't care if you go to heaven or hell. It's your other friends that don't care to hear spiritual thoughts. And so that basically gets down to what kind of company are you keeping. And you need to be considering now, if I am going to help these people get to heaven, they need to hear the truth. There's only one truth, and they need to hear it. So you need to consider that. In Jude 16, they talking about these people, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, showing respect to persons for the sake of advantage. You know, you stroke the ego of some people, and you might get an advantage out of it. That's why they have all these big dinners and everything, fundraisers. You tell people how great they are and how good they are and say, come on, fork over the cash. Come on, we need this money so we can get elected and maybe we'll take care of you in certain ways. And yes, some of the politicians have learned that art very well. They tried. It's basically what some people call buying votes. And yes, many have gained an advantage because of the legislation that these people present. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is. And so, these people use this fancy talking and tell you you're okay. In Ephesians 5, 6, and 7, let no man deceive you with empty words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Empty words. Words that don't say anything. I have in my past sat through many sermons where basically the preacher talked up there 15, 20, 30 minutes and didn't say anything worthwhile. I've actually been places where they extolled the praises of some college professor or something and never once mentioned Christ. And that to me was just horrifying that they would do something like that. And so there are a lot of empty words out there. A lot of times, you know what empty words are? Those are the words that basically what you hear, blah, 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 blah. I mean, those are empty words. In other words, they're not saying anything substantive. They're not saying anything that interests me or informs me about anything. And how many of them do that? There's a lot of them do that. And especially in the denominations. That's basically all they give. Oh, God loves you and that's all you need to know. It doesn't matter what your lifestyle is. He still loves you and you get to go to heaven. I mean, when you hear something like that, what is the purpose of changing your life to be a faithful servant of Christ when you get to go to heaven and live the way like everybody else does? Doesn't make sense. And so that's the way they feel about it. Those are the empty words. Those are the words that will condemn. In Acts 15:24, for as much as we heard that certain who went out from among us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, to whom we gave no commandment. Yeah, the Judaizers came up from Jerusalem to Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas were studying and teaching with the brethren. Said, you have to be circumcised in order to be in a right relationship with God. And Paul said, wait a minute. That's not the rules. That's not there. That's you're trying to make them Jews. They're not Jews. They are Christians now. And so these people troubled them. And I mean, if you're a new convert, someone comes up and says, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, you're going to get kind of concerned about it. wait a minute, I put my trust in God, I want to go to heaven, and hear this person tell me I shouldn't be doing this. And so it can be very troubling. And especially if you're sitting there and you're watching your brethren do exact same thing, then they tell you you shouldn't be doing that. That's definitely troubling. But anyway, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of them that hear. Some people want to strive about words and the definition of words. Sometimes they want to change the definition of words, what we've always been accustomed to. And there's really no profit in that. And so it can really subvert the faith of some people. And they lose confidence. I mean, are these people teaching me the truth or not? They're wrangling about words and things like that. And that's not good. I mean, if there's going to be wrangling of words, you need to be private instead of bringing it public. So it needs to be private. And so, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. He says, if any man teacheth a different doctrine and consenteth not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and disputes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men, corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth, supposing that godliness is a way of gain. Yeah, some people have actually figured out, well, if I present words that sound religious, people are going to start giving me money. You know, I mean, the televangelists, they're making millions of dollars out there, and all they're doing is saying words that they throw in a spiritual word every now and then, and everyone says, praise the Lord, and just let it go at that. And they are making great gain out of it, monetary, but when they stand before God, it's going to be a different tune. They're going to say, but wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Didn't we do this for you? Didn't we do that for you? You know, Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Ephesians 4, 29. This is a command, I mean, which, like I said, the command to not complain is very plain that we've just been reading over year after year after year. We read over it all the time and didn't really realize it was a command. Here's another command, which a lot of people just kind of glance right on over and really pay no attention. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. The grace of God, do we share that with our coworkers? Do we share that with our neighbors? Do we share the grace of God with people that we come in contact with? If not, then we're not fulfilling the command that God gave us to do. And sometimes when you talk about corrupt speech, yes, that could be unwholesome words. It could be profanities. Depending on what crowd you're in, they kind of expect that. Some crowds, you got to throw in those little expletive deletives just to fit in. That's the wrong kind of crowd to be hanging around. And you shouldn't be hanging around people like that. And so he says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. Now, what is corrupted? Something that basically destroys the truth. That's what a corruption is. It takes something away from its original purpose. I mean, we know if food is corrupted, we have to throw it away. I mean, it's got mold on it. It's spoiled or something. We've got to throw that away. There's other things that can be corrupted. In a computer, if you put in the wrong data, it corrupts the data and messes it up. And so that becomes worthless. You have to basically go back to a previous point and start over. And so corrupt speech that really does not edify anybody. And of course, we could say this is what's going on in the denominations. And sadly, in many churches of Christ, the same type language is being spoken. And it is corrupt speech because it doesn't speak the truth. People need to hear the truth. They don't need to hear the fairy tales. They don't need to hear the smooth words. They need the truth. In Romans 3, 13 and 14, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. So he's talking about people. He's talking about false teachers. And the mouth full of cursing and bitterness, well, that's the bad people out there. That's the people of this world who don't know God. So that they're using all this. They think it makes an impact or something like that by throwing in a word like that from time to time. But folks, if we're not telling people about God, is there any difference? Is our mouth full of anything but bitterness? I mean, look at the bitterness. I mean, why would you be bitter against someone if you want to teach them? Honestly, that's impossible to do. If you care about a soul, you're not going to be bitter towards them. But bitterness, I mean, we could talk about bitterness, being cranky, being grumpy, being kind of snarky a little sometimes, and just kind of being harsh with somebody by the words that we speak. And sometimes the mouth full of cursing, I mean, let's face it, we usually attribute cursing to the profanity section. But you know what? If you like we mentioned this morning, how some have told me that I should be going to hell because I teach the truth. I mean, that is a cursing on their part, which, no, that's not their place to do. Only God has the right to choose who is going to heaven and who's going to hell. No person has that right. So cursing someone is along that same order. You remember Balaam was called up by Barak to go and curse the children of Israel. And he wasn't able to do it. Every time he started speaking, it turned into a blessing for the children of Israel. And so Balaam had to find another way. And it was a horrible way what he decided. In James 3, verses 8 through 10. But the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men, who are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Have you known Christians who in church, they'll speak the kind words, they'll speak the smooth words, and they'll speak words that are like what they're expected to be heard in church, and then they get out on the phone and start blankety blank 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 to their cousin or their friend or whatever. I mean, they do that. Folks, those are people who are not living the way they need to be living, and they are violating what God has commanded. Matthew 15, 18 and 19. Jesus said, but the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and railings. This is what comes out of the heart. You know, Jesus said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, it's what comes out. And so, Colossians 3, 8 and 9. But now do ye also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his doings. Yeah, before we become Christians, that's where we are. That's the condition we're in. And we're doing all those things and really not thinking anything about it. But now we have been warned and we have been told, don't do this. That's plain and simple. I think God makes it plain and clear. Don't do these things. I mean, yes, we can be angry as long as we don't sin. I mean, Ephesians 4 tells us that. But really, the idea of wrath, wishing harm upon somebody. I mean, you have an argument with somebody and say, I hope they run into a column of concrete somewhere and mess up their car and get hurt. Or maybe even killed. I mean, that is wrath and malice. once again, wishing evil upon somebody. No, we should never wish that. I mean, if we have an enemy, don't hope that they get killed and put shot, but do something nice to them and pray for them. You remember, that's what Jesus said. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. He said that in the parable on the Sermon on the Mount. All right, so why? Because we have put off the old man. We're not like that anymore. And we're not supposed to be like that anymore, I should say. Because a lot of people, even after they're baptized, there's no change in their lifestyle. There's no change in the way that they talk among their friends. There's no change in their daily activities and their behavior. They don't become a new creature like they're supposed to. But as long as they've been baptized, they're okay. I mean, we'll accept them. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth with each one his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, why did he have to put in that phrase, we are members one of another? It's because we're in this boat together, folks. We're here to do these things to get to heaven. My job is to help you get to heaven. Your job is to help me get to heaven and each other. That is our job. That's what we're in here for. We are part of one another, and therefore we need to speak the truth when it needs to be said. If that means chastising somebody, then so be it. If it means, as they say, the preacher stepping on toes, then so be it. But that's what people need to hear. But we just can't tell people that, oh, don't worry about it, you're okay. I mean, like so many do. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. But the Spirit saith expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. God knew this was going to happen. The Spirit told Paul that was going to happen. And it happened just like it was said. People speak the doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies. It's like when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. He says, do what they tell you to do, but don't do like they do. I mean, they're going to force you to do all sorts of things and carry heavy loads, but they won't even lift a finger. And they expect you to do all the work. And that's why he had a problem with the Pharisees. And so that's what we have to be aware of. In Proverbs 8, verses 6 and 8. Hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverse in them. Now, who do you think was saying that? Now, it wasn't Solomon. This was God speaking. God speaking here. Everything he says is going to be excellent, and everything that comes out of his mouth is going to be right. God cannot lie. God cannot tell a falsehood. I mean, so his mouth shall utter truth. That's all that will come out of it. And that's why it's important to pay attention to the truth. Because Jesus said the truth will make you free. And you can't find truth in the ways of man. They're just not there. They will use truth only if it's to their advantage. We know that. They will accept something as truth if it fits with what they want to believe. And we talked about that this morning. In Psalm 19 and verse 14, one of my favorite verses of all, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Jehovah, my rock and my redeemer. Our words are important, and we have to remember that. And so here's the point of this lesson. We have told God that this is what we are going to do with our mouth and our words. God, my words are going to be great. My words are going to speak of your glory, your excellence. Well, I'm going to proclaim the excellency of you, and I'm going to do all of these things. Now, examine yourself. Have you done what you told God you were going to do? Have we lived up to what we have promised Him? See, everything we speak must be in harmony with the truth, and that is revealed in the gospel of Christ. And yes, we might speak, it's a beautiful day. Well, yes, it is a beautiful day. Give God the glory for it. I mean, sometimes we just need to throw in that little bit extra. Give God the glory for it. I mean, they could sit down and probably give you all sorts of technical, well, there's a high pressure system out in the Pacific and the wind flow from the north. That's why it's so nice here. Why can't we just say God gave us a beautiful day? I mean, it's just that easy, and we praise God for it. How you doing? Well, I'm okay with the Lord's help. Just something else, just add in there with the Lord's help. And who knows, you might be surprised. You might find, well, yeah, that's right. I mean, and you might find someone else who believes in God, and they might have the courage to speak up and say something. See, we must choose our words with great care so that only good will come from our speech. We have to be mindful of what we're saying all the time. We have to be sober-minded so that we can speak the words that are sound and fitting and not speak anything that's going to be falsehood. We shouldn't be speaking about others. We shouldn't be complaining about others and telling people, I don't like old sister so-and-so or something like that. And we just have to take great care with what we have to say. That is so important. And our words ought to originate from God's wisdom and not the wisdom of men. Like I say, James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will supply abundantly what we need. Sometimes before we even open our mouth, we ought to be saying, you know what? I need some wisdom so I can make the right choice of words, that we do that. You remember in our study of Nehemiah, when the king says, what would you desire? What did Nehemiah say? And I prayed. Then I brought my petition before the king. I mean, sometimes, what would you like? Well, I'd like a double cheeseburger with fries and a Coke. I mean, sometimes that just comes out naturally for us. But no, what would you like? Well, I'm not going to stop there and pray a long prayer. Just say, what should I order, when I order practically the same thing every time, depending on which restaurant it is. But still, we should not rely upon the wisdom of man, because man's ways are a lot lower than God's ways, and God's ways are higher than ours. And we read that in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. We should not speak words of hateful, wicked, demeaning accusations against others. And I think God hates that more than anything, is when brethren start spewing hate speech towards other brethren. It should not be that way. We should have sound conversations, civil conversations. And if it breaks down into hateful and wicked and demeaning speaking, then somebody's definitely sinning in that means. So hopefully, if someone is doing that to you, you don't turn around and dish it back at them. I mean, sometimes we just have to, well, if that's the way you feel about it, you'll have to answer to God for it. It's the way we figure. See, we should not speak lies to anyone. Yeah, the check's in the mail. How many times have you said that? Oh yeah, the check's in the mail. Don't worry, it should be there any day now. And then you go out and write out the check and then go put it in the mail, and hopefully they'll be okay with that. But we shouldn't lie to anybody. I mean, sometimes in business, the boss says, when some customer's on the line, what should I tell them? Well, tell them this. Well, that's not the truth. And had a big argument with my boss one time because I wouldn't lie to the customer. I said, we're going to do our best, but I wouldn't lie to the customer. And we had a round about it for a while. We always kind of clashed with that particular boss. But anyway, neither should we speak words of murmuring and complaining. Yeah, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. We shouldn't be murmuring and complaining. We shouldn't be whining. We should be doing better about that. And I've been watching myself, and Linda's been watching us. We all been kind of talking about it, and I think we're all doing better, so that's a good thing. We need to be cautious not to stir up strife and division. Yeah, sometimes we feel like we have to walk on eggshells around certain people because they just might start giving you a tongue lashing but based on what you say. So, and sometimes it's just better just to keep your trap shut and not say a word than to possibly rile somebody up. And yes, filthy language, sexual filth, profanity, cursing, they are not spoken by righteous individuals. If that's in your repertoire, you're not a righteous individual, and that's the truth. So keep that in mind. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to get those things out of your repertoire, out of your language, and out of your speaking. See, words have consequences, and that's true. Yeah, I mean, we've all heard the expression, you don't go into a crowded theater and say, fire! I mean, that has consequences. People could die. And guess what? The person who did that, they can go to jail. I mean, they did something that caused harm. And so words have consequences. And, you know, we see this all the time on the television. We turn on the news. The politician says this, or somebody says that, and somebody's going to either get on their case or they're going to say, oh, yeah. I mean, words have consequences. But the consequences we need to be focused on are the consequences that'll get us into heaven. That's what we need to be focused on. The Bible teaches us that our words have eternal consequences. And some people just kind of, they just really don't pay attention to that. They speak however they want to speak. And they use the language of the world and in their everyday language. And folks, that's not going to get them to heaven. And sadly, I don't know how we can tell them if they won't listen, if they won't pay attention. And that is all the more reason we need to examine every facet of our lives to make sure we comply with God's standards. We've got to examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see if we're in the faith. And recognizing that people are looking to us as an example of Christ. And are we showing them Christ when we're talking like the world? No, we're not. So we need to do that. Our duty as Christians is to lead people to Christ. And that's what we should be doing. And how do we do that? By communicating and speaking words fit for edification. Getting right with God. That's the most important thing anybody can do. And that's the greatest thing you can tell someone. They may not want to hear it. They may think that you're being divisive or something. They may curse you out. But folks, you need to lead people to Christ and put Christ in their midst. The grace of God has appeared to everyone. It's available to everybody. And we should be letting people know there's a better way. And if they want to curse you out, so be it. Take it. Just let them have at it. Don't turn around and behave like them. But we ask the question, how will that ever happen if you don't even talk about Christ? If you don't talk about Christ in your community where you live, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, or anything like that, they're not ever going to know. I mean, there's a passage in Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one is deprived of the grace of God. You know, that I believe is a command given to us that we've got to make sure if people don't make it to heaven, it's not going to be my fault because I didn't tell them. It's because of the choices they make. So, folks, we need to do what we can. We need to watch our words, be mindful of our words, because they have eternal consequences. So that's our lesson for this evening. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a reason to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.